The scene, Psalm 91, stanzas 3 and 4. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in times of a turmoil, disaster, such as the pandemic, COVID-19, we can still have peace because God is with us and He is effective in preventing fear from spreading. Yet we live in a fallen, sinful world that moves us fearfully from one crisis to the next, as if every morning we wake up to a new life threatening dangers. COVID-19 statistics, new flu strains, Ebola, recessions, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, floods, fires, or any natural disasters, even the threat of terrorist attacks. Then there is our own personal crisis. Finances, health, relationships, for example. This crisis often catches by surprise and strikes terror into our hearts. We feel helpless as events spin out of our control. But some psalms are particularly comforting to God's people who are suffering from illness, loneliness, and trouble. God's people often turn to this particular kind of psalms. Psalm 91 is one of those special psalms. It's a psalm of confidence that reminds us that God protects and preserves the chosen ones who trust in Him. Life will bring trouble, and we will face danger, but as the people of God, we can live above fear, relying on the trust that He will never let us fall. Through ages, Psalm 91 has been committed to heart by thousands of people, and millions have turned to it with thankfulness in the midst of life calamities. There's nothing in the text that provides a clue as to the time and circumstances is a composition. However, what we do know is that three different voices are used. The psalmist begins in the first person, claiming his own trust in God. Starting in verse 3, there's a shift into the second person, as the psalmist tells the readers that God protects those who are His. Then in the final section, from verses 14 to 16, we hear the voice of God as He reiterates that He will, in fact, protect and care for those who trust in Him. Through pondering on this psalm, beyond all the disappointments and the problems that we face, we can wholeheartedly know that God is here caring for us and working out His loving purpose. His protection is real. He won't forget us or ignore us. If we belong to Him, His love for us is too great to leave us on our own. Therefore, I preach to you this morning under this theme: our safety is in the care of God. We will hear three things. At first place, the confession of trust in God's care. At second place, our confidence in God's care. At last place, God's promises of care for us. Now the first point, the confession of a trust in God's care. This psalm is saturated with the pictures and the images and to help the readers meditate on the care of God. In verses from 1 to 2 of our text, God is described as a shelter, a shadow, a refuge, and a fortress. God's people can find safety and protection from danger as they draw near to Him. The word dwell used here means to take up permanent residency in, which means that you do it day in and day out. It's not a one-day thing. It's not just I just do it on a Sunday thing. To dwell in the shelter of the Most High means that every day you do not look to the world for safety, for protection. You are not looking to other people to satisfy you, to give you safety. Our safety, our satisfaction, what we need in life comes straight from God. Blessed are we, for in the shadow of the Almighty, Most High, we have a rest. We have a peace. For our Lord Jesus Christ, those who eat His flesh and drink His blood are those who abide or dwell in Him. Of course, they also live in His Word. Above all else, they live in Him as branches, dwell or abide in the vine. This kind of life, to live and remain in Jesus, is the New Testament's counterpart to dwelling in the shelter of God the Most High. But what is that shelter? It is the covering, a hiding place. It refers to the temple, but only because God's presence is there. This shelter is the intimacy of God's presence. It's our secure communion with Him. By dwelling and living in the shelter of God, we are like what Moses has experienced while God's glory passed by. God put him in a cleft of the rock and covered Moses with His mighty hand until he had passed by. The psalmist also says that those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Most High. Shadow. Shadow here refers to a place of protection or covering. They can relieve the sun's direct heat or avoid direct sunlight. When it is scorching, we can reduce the amount of heat we feel by hiding in the shade. This is a reminder for us, especially in the tough times, that we never walked alone. The full heat of the troubles may bear down on us. It's hard and heavy. It's a struggle at times to keep walking through it all. Pressure and stress can look as smothery as the hot summer sun. Yet God whispers truth strong and sure to us. Walk in my shadow, up close to my side. It's only in a safe place that can bring confidence. So when we are resting in God's shadow, we will never face the full heat of difficulties. He shelters us from that pain. We will have rest, peace, and calm right in the struggling mess of life, because we are assured, after all, God is in control. Sometimes in the busyness and difficulties of this life, we may struggle to survive on our own. We might forget that what we need most are God's protection and the comfort of His presence. They are freely available to those who love Him and walk under His covering. As scary as things are right now, as serious as they are, for the Christians, we are resting in the shadow of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. And His word also dwells in us. Remember that the shadow of God is constantly cover us, and He's working on our behalf. Before moving into the body of the psalm and exhorting others, the psalmist makes clear his own trust in God. The point is highlighted by the repeated personal pronouns in verse 2. Notice the first two verses of Psalm 91. Four names for God are mentioned in those two verses. The first one is the Most High, which means the one who owns everything, high above every other power. The second one is the Almighty, which means the God who supplies all our needs. The third one is the Lord, which means the eternal, unchangeable one. The last name is my God, which means the creator God, who is in control and who governs by His providence. These are four great names for the true a living God. These names together stress the power, compassion, and the sovereign control of God. Martin Luther, inspired by the verse 2 of this psalm, wrote the well-known hymn, which is called God's Majesty and Power. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. When we are in an emergency, brothers and sisters, we would like to call 911. We trust that the person on the other end of the line will help us. As someone said, we need to know Psalm 91 verse 1 is 911 emergency call number for God's people. We need to trust that God surely will help us, take care of us, even in the most crisis. Now this brings us to the second point, our confidence in God's care. Our text in verse 3 and 4 says, "For He will deliver you from the snares of fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." Those two verses are the declaration of God's care for His people. We see from verse 3 that, well, this is a psalm about God's protection and care. The psalmist often refers to the dangers that are present. Here, the psalmist speaks through images and pictures, describing being caught in a hunter's trap, then suffering from deadly disease. The one who dwells in God will never be an eaten bird, because God will deliver him from the snare of the fowler. Furthermore, God will also deliver him from the deadly pestilence. In this life, there are many hidden dangers, like the snare of a fowler. A hidden trap is set up to catch a little bird so it can be eaten. And there are sudden dangers, an illness or COVID-19 that comes on you. You wake up feeling bad, and by the end of the day, you may be on your deathbed. But God can promise, but God promises to save us from those things. On the surface, the psalmist is describing deliverance from human adversity. But in light of verse 5 and 6, he probably has a darker enemy in mind. The fuller and deadly pestilence become satanic agents of spiritual and physical attack. Apostle Paul has warned new converts about falling into reproach and snare of the devil. Behind many diseases stands evil. This is why Jesus heals a bent woman whom Satan bound for 18 years. However, it is not a promise from God that you will not ever have an accident or get an illness. Even though the Lord keeps many things away from our bodies and often answers our prayers for safety and physical healing, this is a promise from God that while you are running the bases, God will come to your aid. No matter what happens to you, that will not harm your soul. In verse 4, what we see is that God draws near and fights our battles. The vivid imagery continues as the psalmist that describes God's intimate care like that of a mother bird. God will cover the psalmist with his feathers, hiding him under his wings. Here he will take refuge. In the midst of verse 4, the metaphor shifts to a military equipment, which is God's physical protection. The person dwells in God's shadow will have his faithfulness as a shield and a buckler. This shield is larger, protecting the whole body. The word rendered buckler appears only here in Old Testament. It probably means a round shield. The two pieces of armor illustrate the full or double protection offered by God's faithfulness. Two imageries of comfort and assurance. The first one is of mother bird gathering her chicks under her soft feathers. The second one is of a strong suit of hard armor. Think about it. At different time of life, you need a different kind of comfort and assurance. Sometimes you may need a hug. You need a hug. At other time, you may need a good look at the door, good lock on the door. Comfort can be a soft one or a hard one. The Lord may comfort us with both. After the declaration of God's care for his people in verses 3 and 4, the psalmist tells us that the result of God's care in the following three verses. Let's have a close look at verse 5 and 6. It says there, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." We see that though dangers come in various forms at any time, day or night, those who trust in him can live without fear. Here, terror refers to being attacked by enemies and is paired with the word arrow. Those threats from war are arrayed alongside pestilence, two references to mortal disease that often would reach pandemic proportions. However, no matter what time of the day or night, these threats may come at you will be kept safe. We all know that there is no shortage of things to fear in life. There are far more things than just COVID-19. We know to some degrees just how debilitating fear can be. It can drain you of all your energy, and it can drag you down into a dire situation. The Lord says through the psalmist, "Here is what I promise you, if you trust me. You will dwell in the shadow of the highest. You may know that in the battle of life, I will have my eye on even though thousands of arrows fall around you." This is the result of God's care that is clearly emphasized in verse 7 and 8. In terms of God's care, is there a clear-cut difference between God's people and the people of the world? The psalmist says, you will only look with your eye and see the recompense of the wicked. If you keep your eyes open, then you will see that there are bigger differences. The calamities such as COVID-19 that falls on people, including believers and unbelievers, may look the same on the outside. Still, for unbelievers, it is the punishment, the wrath of God to them. However, for the believers, for the covenant people, it's a part of God's protection plan to test his people. God will judge the wicked, but this is our hope. As his people, we don't have to fear his judgment. He will judge the world, but we will not fall. After the declaration of God's care for his people in verse 3 and 4, the results of God's care in verse 5 and to verses 8. Now the psalmist tells us in verse 9 and 13, the means of God's care. According to verse 9 and 10, one thing that is emphasized throughout the psalm is that the promises of safety and care are not for everyone. They are reserved for the people of God. If you make the Most High your dwelling place, your refuge, your shelter, then no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. This echoes with what it said in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28, which says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Not that all things that come to us are good, but they will be turned for good and not evil in the lives of those who trust in God. Verse 11 and 12 tells us that angels protect those who dwell in the shelter of God. Bible teaches that angels are created by God and used by him for different purposes. One way that God used angels is in the guarding and protecting of his people. This angelic care is complete. These guardians bear up the protected person in their hands so that God's people will not even strike his foot against his stone. Moreover, God's people will experience victory over all evil, treading upon the lion and cobra, and trembling the young lion and the serpent. We are told God sends to us angels to protect us. But on a less mystical note, we all know that God sent other agents our way as well, such as his messengers, our ministers. They instruct us how to live according to God's word and admonish us with word of much wisdom. If we reject the knowledge that is brought forth by them, which is in truth, biblically, then we are to leave ourselves open for dangers. Indeed, the Word of God is to cause us to walk carefully, make us to look around, and to keep ourselves within a certain area. This is what we are told in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, that we ought to walk carefully, not as fools, but in wisdom. The sense of this is given in our passage. God sends His angels, His ministers, His messengers unto us, that they might keep us in all our ways. The Word of God tells us the way of wisdom. It tells us where we should tread and where we are ought not to. The Word of God tells us to separate from evil and from wickedness. When Satan tempted Jesus in the desert, he quoted Psalm 91, verse 11, calling on Jesus to trust the protection of God's angels. Jesus made it clear that God's promise of protection is not to be tested. At the same time, he shows us the need to rightly interpret and apply God's word. God's care should not be needlessly put to the test. Hence, to experience this care, we need salvation. We need to dwell in God, to walk close to God. And we need to accept the help that He also readily offers. People may starve from famine. Blood may shed by war. Earthquakes may destroy buildings. Man may die of COVID-19. And tomorrow we may witness the greater wrath of God. But those who take a refuge under the wing of the Most High, God can live in perfect peace. In the Word, verses 3 to 13, and tells us what God will do for the person dwelling in Him while he will experience suffering and evil in this fallen world. He will also know and experience the divine care, protection, and deliverance. This brings us to the last point, God's promise of care for His people. In the final section from verses 14 to 16, we hear the words of God as He reiterated the promises of the psalm. In verses 14 begins with the word, because He holds fast to me in love, and then continues by 8 promises. We know that we shall love the Lord. We shall love our Lord with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind. The promise of safety and deliverance is given only to those who have made God object of their supreme affection. The promises are to those who hold fast to God in love. In verses of 14 and 16, 8 times the word "I will" are employed or hinted. God says in these verses, because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. These blessings and still more are given to those who love and trust the Most High God. The promise in verse 15 is this: I will be with him in trouble. Remember what Job says in verse 1 of chapter 14. Man who is born of a woman is few of days and full of trouble. But in verse 1 of chapter 14 of Gospel John, Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, and also believe in me." When our children are sick, brothers and sisters, we will do our best to take care of them. We do what we can to ease their pain. We're trying to soften their sufferings. We assure them that we are close by. Just so, God will be with us in times of sufferings. What if we have more pains than others have? Then we'll have more of God's company and assurance of His special care. God will not allow us to endure suffering and leave us there all alone, because we hold fast to God in love. Therefore, God will be with us in trouble. Another promise is stated in verse 16. God says, "With long life, I will satisfy him." Long life literally refers to the length of days. It's not a promise. It's not a promise for those who hold fast to God in love will live up to 110 years or 112 years old. But a promise for us to be satisfied with the length of days which God has granted us. Those who remain under the shadow of Almighty, whether they die young or old, will be satisfied with their life and will be content to leave it. They will not ask more of life, even if they could. Desiring a long life is natural to everyone. A long life is usually considered as a blessing of God. And the promise of verse 16 is, "With long life, I will satisfy him." A time will come when God's child is satisfied with his length of days. He will not desire to live anymore. His frail, aged body will cause him to want to go and to be with his Lord. The bright hope of heaven will make him feel that he has had enough of this life and that it is better for him to depart into another world. At the end of Psalm 91, the final promises is, "I will show him my salvation." That is, beyond death, we will see the full meaning of God's saving love. Here is this life. We only understand it partially. However, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "In the coming ages, God might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Jesus Christ." Notice that these eight promises are not universal. They are reserved for the people of God, those who know him, hold fast to him, and call on him. This is a relationship that is made possible through repentance and trust in Jesus Christ. Psalm 91 is a psalm of faith, a psalm of God's care, especially in the face of an unknown future. How can we receive the protection of God's promises? It is only when we become the covenant children of God through faith in Christ that we can receive such promises. Brothers and sisters, at the moment, although the situation of pandemics seems to be getting better, the life is slowly coming back to normal, our country is still in tough time today. And the health experts and authorities of Canada are still warning us that the second wave of a breakout of COVID-19 could happen in the coming fall or winter. No one could have predicted that COVID-19 would bring our country to such a state that businesses were ordered to close. Everyone asking to stay at home and shelter in place for the past weeks or months, whether we like it or not. All our lives have been affected in some way, in shape or form. In a time like this, where our reality, reality is similar to that of a psalmist, and that the arrows are flying in the forms of an ever-mutating virus. Who do we turn to, brothers and sisters? Of course, we turn to Almighty God, even though we may be socially distanced, and each person or family is like an island. We still praise God. We praise God because we are not alone. God's covenant people are never alone. Stores, businesses, the stock market, even the medical clinics may be shut their doors. But God never shuts his doors to us. God is working on our behalf. He takes care of us, and we are ultimately safe in his shelter. We all know that one day we will all die. Virus or no virus, life, sickness, and death are inevitable. But isn't it a blessing to know that when we die, we will enter the gates of heaven that our Savior has opened for us? Therefore, don't let fear take possession of your heart, for nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord. For those who do not yet have the assurance of eternal life, open the door of your heart to Jesus. Invite him to come in and be your Savior. Jesus is right now knocking at the door of your heart. He's waiting for you. Amen.